It is the pastor's responsibility to see to it that guest speakers receive a proper introduction, even if the pastor is not present in the service. Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and that's our key sentence for today. As always, we're talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, you travel a lot. What kind of introductions have you been given over the years?
That's a funny question, Dean. I've talked with other people in ministry who travel, and it's amazing some the lack of introductions or the kind of introductions you get. Some are very good. I recall way back in the early years of my ministry, I arrived at the place where I was to speak at a youth rally, and I noticed that some other speaker was advertised. So somehow the dates had gotten confused. And so early on in the service, the fellow introduced me and he said, "I'm not sure who he is or why he's here, but here he is anyway." You know, that was kind of the introduction. I think my most incredible introduction was I was doing radio and I spoke at a fair for the radio station. They were sponsors at an amusement park and they had a series of people come on and I was supposed to be the speaker in the middle of this sequence and I followed Billy the huge bubble maker. And Billy said, "I'll introduce you. You will step out of this big bubble." He had a huge round thing where he would make these bubbles. And is that okay? And I think I finally turned that down. It just seemed like it was a little bit more than I had to do. Whatever those funny times are, I also have many memories of having incredibly gracious and kind introductions, sometimes to the degree where I was almost a little bit embarrassed because they went on so long. And I remember one pastor who said, "You know, this is my mentor." He doesn't know that, but he's the one who has shaped me more in my ministry than anyone else that I can think of. And I'm so honored to have him here. So you get all kinds of different introductions. It could be a funny conversation or it could be a very, very mellow conversation, depending on what memories you want to conjure up.
I was in a situation once where this guest speaker was introduced in such long and glowing terms. The introduction went on and on and on. And when the speaker got up, he said, "It's a joy to be with you today. And after hearing that introduction, I can hardly wait to hear what I have to say."
That's funny. I have a personal memory that goes way back to high school times. I graduated in 1954. That's a long time ago. That's 60 years. My senior year, I was the student body president. The high school was about 1,000 students, so it wasn't real large. I guess that's not real small either. Part of the perks of being in that position was when any speaker came, you got to introduce that person to the whole of the student body. I remember Mr. Doty was my civics teacher, and he pulled me aside after class one day, and he said, "David, we have a special speaker coming to our school, and you dare not introduce him improperly. He's a man of great distinction. He's a war hero, and he's our United States Senator from Illinois." He said, "Here's what I want you to do. You don't have to, but I'm telling you what I think would be a good idea. I want you to go down to the library and I want you to get a book from him." This wasn't the school library, but the public library. "And check it out. You got to read it quickly. And then you put together a very good 2-paragraph introduction of him. So when he comes, I'm not embarrassed by what you've done." If he hadn't said that, I probably would have written out a couple things, asked some questions, wouldn't have known that much. But I did go down to the public library. It was Quincy, Illinois. I got the book on Senator Douglas, and I read it. It was very thrilling to me. And I wrote out this 2-paragraph introduction, probably 3-4 sentences per paragraph. So it didn't take a long time. And I introduced the senator to the school body. They clapped. I was glad when it was over because it was a little bit of a sweaty assignment. Would I do it well? But afterward, I had, I don't know how many teachers came up to me and tell me what a good job I had done, because that was important to them. Mr. Doty said that he kind of hugged me, and the principal of the school. But what was really interesting was Senator Paul Douglas, who obviously has been gone for a long time now, he made comment when he started his remarks that that was such a fine introduction, and he really appreciated it. But that has always kind of stuck with me, that introductions are very important, and I feel that in terms of the church as well.
When a guest speaker comes and someone is going to introduce them, usually the pastor, but if the pastor is away, in our key sentence, we make it still the pastor's responsibility to make sure that the person is properly introduced. How do you find out information about someone?
Well, this is a day when you can find out things much easier than previously. What's interesting to me, Dean, I was trying to think of just names. I'm old, so many of the people I knew and talked with are gone, like Francis Schaeffer or Chuck Colson, those kind of people. Well, a good name would be Billy Graham. Billy Graham doesn't travel. He's quite elderly now. But if Billy Graham were to speak at the church, the truth of the matter is a lot of people haven't any idea who Billy Graham is. You know, this seems incredible, but it's true. I took my 14-year-old grandson to the Billy Graham Museum in Wheaton. He said, "Who's Billy Graham?" I told him, and it was a whole different world to him. He didn't pay attention, but when we went through that museum and he saw what Billy had done through the course of his life, he was quite impressed by that. But it does mean that you could say, "This is my guest, Dr. Francis Schaeffer." And within the church world, it seems like everybody knows who that is. But the truth is, probably 2/3 of the people sitting there would not have the faintest idea who Francis Schaeffer was or who Chuck Colson was, or you name these people. And you can assume that people know, but the truth is, most people are not that acquainted with different individuals. So to be able to give an introduction that has value and places this person in the stature that he or she should have, I think that's a very big thing. My personal feeling is that it's just a job. It may take an hour, may take more than that, may take less than that. If you go on the web, you can find out about people. So it's just a matter of doing your homework. It's like Mr. Doty saying to me, go down to the public library, get a book on Senator Douglas. And after I read that book, he was somebody to me. If I hadn't read the book at a high school level, I didn't really appreciate even who a U.S. senator was at that point in time. I remember most of all being impressed by his war medals and that he was a hero in terms of the country. So life goes on, and once you talk 10-year span, you got a lot of people who didn't live through the times that you happened to live through, so you kind of update them as to who this given individual is.
It is startling what you say to me about Billy Graham, but then when I think about the people that I know in the Christian world in which I now operate, the younger people don't know who some of these people that I would consider heroes of the faith in my generation are. So it is important to make sure when someone comes that people know who this is that's come usually some distance and to share a word from the Lord. How long is a good introduction? How long should it take?
Well, I'm quoting my expert, who's Mr. Doty. And he said 2 paragraphs. And I think that's a good rule of thumb. Who knows how long it should be, but I would say 2 paragraphs, and you're talking maybe 3 to 4 sentences per paragraph. Basically, though, you're putting the person in a context. A lot of times, you know, if a minister invites someone to come and speak and that minister is going to be away and you just assume that he will be given a good introduction, that doesn't happen. I've been in churches many times when there's no introduction at all. What is a very nice thing, and this is, in my mind, a good thing, is that if a minister who's going away will put paragraphs in the church bulletin, and this is who is going to be here. I'm thrilled that he can fill the pulpit or she can fill the pulpit, and this is who this person is. Once it's in the bulletin, I think people read that. There could even be a picture of the person as far as that goes, but if I were to introduce you, I don't think I would just do that off the top of my head. In fact, sometimes you'll hear in an introduction, "This is my good, close, personal friend, and we have traveled many miles together." One funny story I remember when we were working together in years before. Well, those things don't mean very much to people. They may mean something to the person who's saying it, but that's not the kind of information that you want to give to people. We want to say, "This is the position this person held for X amount of time, and they did such a good job. These are the awards that were given to this person. So we have someone here who is special to me, and we've been friends a long time," but that's not really the significant thing. The fact that somebody says, "This is my close friend," that doesn't tell anything about the given speaker. You have to do one of two things. You either have to set the person up so they have a reason for being there that says this person is not to be taken lightly, or otherwise you've done them a disservice, because then they have to in some way either ignore the whole thing and just move forward, or they have to say, "I remember in my life," and give some kind of a background, and that sounds like a personal puffing. So you put them in an incredibly awkward situation. I think most of the time when a person isn't given a proper introduction, it's just that nobody thought about it. It just somehow was overlooked, and the way the key sentence was written that you read before is that that's the pastor's responsibility. That person who is the key individual, the leader in that congregation, is the one who has to assume that responsibility and make sure that it is done. And especially, I like the sentence which says, especially when you're not there, because that's usually when a guest speaker is going to be the pulpit fill. And so you say, "This is the reason this person is here." The truth of the matter is most people have short bios that they are willing to send you. You can get that from their office. it's not that hard to find information. In fact, sometimes you look it up and they say, goodness, this person is really something I never realized, because you just didn't pay that much attention to it. As far as you were concerned, it was old Ralph, you know, and you like Ralph and he's a good person, but you didn't realize really Ralph's background. So it's just a reminder that says, don't let this get by you, because it's an important factor and it has a bearing on how people are going to hear what this person says.
It's the pastor's responsibility to see to it that guest speakers receive a proper introduction, even if the pastor is not present in the service. Thank you for joining us for our time together. You found our SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.